Opportunity to speak to you, to your sheep. You've entrusted me to give a word of knowledge. Y'all can have a seat for a moment, and then we'll stand for the reading of the word. But again, Pastor Johnson, I thank you. And to my B2B, you're an amazing woman. Thank you for all that you do, ministry behind the scenes. You know, the connection is there, so I'm loving it. Thank you to my daughter and to my husband in his absence and to my other children. I thank them because they keep me humble. They help grow me. They are my fruit developers. And to the woman who is here, who has given us so much life. Can somebody just shout, she's here?
She's here.
She's here.
She's here.
Y'all give it up for my co-pastor, Danny Gardner. She is here. She is here. Y'all never heard about her. Oh gosh, I'm just a chip off the old block, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for my OLGs, my two lady friends back there in the back from New Birth Fellowship Church, and to my from my pastor, Leon B. Gardner, L.B. Gardner, New Birth Fellowship Church. I'm thankful for him and all that he's given for us. Y'all give it up for New Birth and my pastor and my co-pastor. Thank you for that. Again, I appreciate you all. I thank you for this. Is one of my best friends, and the whole world should have known she was going to show up to Coach Wadley. To my MLK family,
amen.
Minister Cox, Minister Jackson, my MLK family in the back, and all my other friends that I know, and those of you that I don't know, I am thankful that you're here on today. And as my daughter said, I am Minister Shaquille Bullard from the New Earth Fellowship Church. Thank you, God, just again, like I said, for this opportunity. So we're going to be talking about the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to be coming from John 14 and 6. But before we do that, I've got to pay homage and tribute to my pastor. So if you would stand, please. We're going to do our declaration. What we do at New Birth, we do our declaration. We hold our Bibles or electronic devices in the air, and we repeat after him. So if you're already with your loud voices, say, Lord,
Lord,
sanctify
me
through thy truth,
thy word
is true.
Lord,
feed me
thy word.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet,
a
light unto my path.
Feed me, Lord.
Father God, we just thank you again for this day. We thank you for the revival, Lord God, that has come. We thank you for Pastor Johnson and Pastor T. We thank you, Lord God, for this ministry. We thank you, Lord God, for those who undergird them. We pray, Lord God, that you do what you do in this season. We do what you do tonight. Heal, deliver, set free. Give the people what they are thirsty and hungry and looking for you to do for them. It is in Jesus' name that we do pray and believe. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to go to John 14 and 6. So if you could read that with me. John 14 and 6. If you're there, if you have your word ready, let's read. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. You can have your seat. And so we're going to go ahead and get started. And what I realized was, I think that last month, the lady who spoke talked a little bit about sin. So I wanted to make sure I just kind of did a recap. I'm an educator. So what I do, I like to see how God brings things all together. So let's go to Romans 3 and 23. I'm going to read Romans 3, 23 through 26. And we're going to talk a little bit about sin. And sin, if I sum it up, what it is, it's separation from God. That's all sin is. That's what it is. It's separation from God. So Romans 3, 23, here we have it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. Amen. So that means nobody's perfect. Nobody can cross all their I's and cross all their T's and dot all their I's, because we all sinned and come short of the glory. And verse 26 says, 23 and 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To be justified means to be made right. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. The only way that you're going to be justified, the only way that you're going to be righteous is through Christ Jesus. So if we're going to talk about the way, the truth, and the life, it's going to be found in Jesus. Verse 25 says, whom God has set free, excuse me, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that's just an appeasement, that's just him, the satisfaction, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. That means that Jesus laid it all down on the cross. He took on your sins, my sins. He took our sins on the cross. So he didn't die for insufficient salvation. He died so that we can live and have life more abundantly. Here's the other thing. He didn't die so that you could still be talking about sin. So at some point in time, we've got to get past our sins. I mean, you were a liar, you were a hormonal, you were a backbiter, you were a cheater. But the enemy loves to hold your sins over your head. The enemy loves to bring up your past. But if you look back, that we're keeping right back where he needs to be. But what God does, God builds up a memorial. He builds a resume over your life. So if you look back over your life and see where he brought you from and where you're standing now, you just got to give him a hand clap of praise. Because it was nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. So verse 26 says this, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. All that means is he makes us right. And because we believe in him, we just gonna be right.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm right because of Jesus. Now, do I do everything right? Do I walk right? Do I talk right? Do I still say things? Do I still have an attitude? Do I lack forgiveness sometimes? Yeah, but I'm still right. I'm still righteous because of Christ. Because Jesus died for my sins, I no longer am a slave to sin. I'm no longer bound by my sin. Why? Because I believe in whom died on the cross for me. And so my sins do not define me. I am defined by the one who died for me. That's how I am defined. And I got a couple more. So chapter 6 of Romans, verse 1 through 3 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That means, am I supposed to be doing everything that I want to do? Am I supposed to be living every kind of way that I want to live and then expect God to just to give me grace and expect God to give me mercy? Well, he is merciful and he will give you grace. But for every sin, there is a consequence. There's always a consequence. You may not see it right off. You may not feel it right off. But there's always a consequence for sin. But shall we keep sinning and thinking God is going to, oh, he's forgiven, he's going to do it? It says, God forbid. No way, we shouldn't do that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So if you're going to call yourself a believer, I believe in Christ. I'm one of those ones. Well, then you got to realize and know that you're dead to sin. You should not be living in sin. So if you shacking, if you fornicating, if you're lying, if you're backbiting, if you're doing all the things that go against what God says, then you are not living up to your God-given potential. So verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death? So when you gave your life to Christ and you said that he was your Lord and Savior, and then you were baptized. Baptism is the outward expression of your inward belief. So that means you were buried, and that means you were raised up and resurrected and to live a powerful life, not a life that is still dead. Jesus is not dead. Somebody tell your neighbor, Jesus isn't dead. Now, I can't keep going on to the past. So I'm just want to, if you read 1 through 14, but let me just read verse 14. Here it is. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So I need those of you who are still talking about your sins or still allowing the enemy to hold you back from your sins, remind yourself that you are no longer under the law, but you are under grace.
grace.
That's God's unmerited favor.
Yes.
Nothing that you can do to buy it. You can't earn it. It was nothing that you did. It was because Jesus loved us so much that we have what we have. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we're going to move on back to St. John 14. Let's go to 1, verse 1. That's where we're going to go. We're going to talk about the way, the truth, and the life. Here it is. Let me give you a little context, because I'm only going to go through these first six scriptures. Give you some context behind John 14, 1 through 6. The way, the truth, the life. So here it is. Jesus is preparing himself and the disciples for his departure. He knows that he's getting ready to be crucified. He knows that, you know, he has accepted the call of his Father. Amen. And so he's telling the disciples, and he's going through and telling them, you know, what he's going to do. And he goes ahead and calls Judas out, and he tells Judas, go ahead and do what you're going to do and do it quickly. Let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. Let's get this ball started. So Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus. And then, you know, they were like, okay, Jesus, no, come on, what are you talking about? And then Peter was like, you know, come on, Lord. And Jesus told him, listen, let me tell you something about yourself. You're going to deny me three times, even before the cock will crow. So God already knows what we're going to do and who we are, even before we know who we are and what we're going to do. So that's kind of where we are. Jesus is like, okay, I'm girding myself. I'm going to do this. I'm ready to go. Let me prepare those who are following after me for what they need. So here we are. Verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So let me give you the definition of the word believe. Believe is to have confidence. It is an assurance in the truth. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth, and the word is true. The reliability of the word without proof. Belief is the reliability of the word without proof. God does not have to show you anything to be true. I got to see something. He does not have to come to you. He does not have to tell you anything. You just got to believe because of who he is. It's the assurance of what he said is true, and his word is true. Believe is to come into agreement what the word says, and that believing and knowing that the word is true. You have no place for doubt in the word. If the word says it, I believe it, I'm going to do it, and that's it. Give God a hand clap of praise. Come into agreement with what the word says is true. So, in other words, Jesus is saying, go ahead and settle the issue. You got to settle the issue in your heart, and you got to settle the issue in your mind. What issue am I settling? That whatever the word says, I believe. Whatever God says do, I will do. Wherever he tells me to go, I will go. No matter what circumstance or situation comes, I'm going to stand on his word. I'm going to stand on his promises. I'm going to do, and I'm going to believe. Here it is, beyond the shadow of a doubt. A lot of times we end up doubting Jesus. A lot of times we end up asking Jesus, well, what about this and what about that? There's nothing wrong with asking God questions. There's nothing wrong with asking Jesus, you know, what about this, Lord, in your prayer time? But when you settle your mind, and when you settle in your heart, I'm going to keep my feet anchored. I'm going to keep my feet planted on the word. And no matter what comes, I'm going to do it. Then you just got to do like Nike says, what? You just do it. So verse 2, let's keep it rolling. Verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So here it is. What God has prepared for us and what he wants for us to have is better than good.
Yeah.
It's nothing that this place here is temporal. Yeah. This is just temporary. All the stuff and things that we say we want and all the stuff and things that we seek after, that stuff is temporary. But what he has left us, he died on the cross. He was crucified. And what he left us to go prepare is greater than anything we can ever imagine. It's greater than anything we can ever conjure up. It's greater, somebody say greater,
greater
than even anything that we can think or imagine. He has prepared for us, and it's greater. It's better than good. Where we are now is temporary and does not compare to what's waiting for us as believers in eternity. We just got to believe. And he said it there. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. So he already said, I'm preparing a place. Don't get settled down here. Don't worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. Oh, my finances. Oh, my marriage. Oh, I want to be married. Oh, these people. Oh, they hating on me. Oh, my friends. Oh, I'm to this. Oh, I'm old to that. He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Settle the issue.
Right.
Settle the issue.
Right.
Learn who you are in Christ. I'm a royal priesthood.
Yes.
I'm a chosen generation.
Yes, yes.
I'm above and not beneath.
Yes.
I am the head and not the tail.
Yes.
I am who I am because God said I was.
Right.
Do I feel like it every day? No. Do I look like it every day? No. But it doesn't change the fact that I am who I am in Christ Jesus. Give God a hand clap of praise. Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So what should we be thinking? We should have forward thinking. We want to, I'm living for eternity. I told my daughter in 2025, my theme or my theme or my thought for myself is I'm living to die.
Yeah.
I'm living to die. I'm living and I'm dying daily. I'm dying for my flesh. I'm dying for my old thought processes. I'm dying from the things that will keep me. I'm casting because of who he is, and he's concerned about me. So he's going to perfect those things. So I don't have to worry about the minor thing because he's perfecting me, because that's what he does and that's what he said he was going to do. So if he's going to go and prepare a place for me and he's going to receive me, I need to be looking to the hills for which cometh my help. I need to be looking beyond what I see, because what you see is not faith. What you see doesn't have anything to do with who you are. And a lot of times we get caught up by our circumstances and situations. But one thing that I've learned is, or that I'm learning, is that I'm not going to allow my situation to change my stance in Christ. What do you mean? I'm going to keep my feet planted in the word and on his promises. So when hell and high water break loose, when trouble comes and the fiery darts come, it won't change my stance. I'm still going to believe. If I foreclose on my house, I'm still going to believe. If my children go astray, I'm still going to believe. If my husband runs off, I'm still going to believe. If my finances go lacking, I'm still going to believe. Why? Because he is a God that when he puts out his word, it's not going to go back. It's not going to go out void. He's going to do what he said he would do. And the enemy, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour your thought process. He wants to devour your faith. He wants to devour your mind. He wants to devour your relationship. He wants to devour your confidence. He wants to devour everything about you so you can revert back and do what you used to do. But I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to keep your feet planted and don't let your situation change your stance in Christ. Give God a hand clap of praise. Jesus didn't die for insufficient salvation. So whatever we need, it's in Jesus. It's not insufficient. Here it is, what my co-pastor says. There's no lack. You will not lack anything when you're in Christ Jesus. There's no lack. Jesus is coming back. Somebody shout, he's coming back. Jesus is coming back, and we need to live like he's coming back. So I'm going to give you a little tidbit. It's not too late to turn around. It's not too late. It's not too late to turn your mind around. It's not too late to turn your marriage around. It's not too late to turn your thought processes around. It's not too late to turn your belief system around. It's not too late to turn your life around, because he's coming back. He is coming back. A few Wednesdays ago, just a quick sidebar, we were having church and we were discussing the reason why people aren't in a hurry and why people aren't, you know, living like Jesus is coming back. And One of the men in the church said, alarm fatigue. And I said, alarm fatigue? You know how your alarm goes off and you just keep cutting it off? And you keep cutting it off and you keep cutting it off. You're tired of hearing the same old thing. And you're tired of people saying, Jesus has come back. You got to live right. You got to do. Jesus has come back. You got to live right. You got to do. Well, let me tell you something. I don't care how many times you hear it. You better not be asleep because he's coming back. Verse number 4 says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. God never leaves us unequipped or ill-equipped. Let me say that again. God never leaves us unequipped or ill-equipped. I'm going to tell you something, believer. If you're saved and you've given Christ your life, you are fully loaded. You are fully loaded. You may not use all your options. My sister right here got her new Jeep. You may not use all your options in your Jeep, but you're still fully loaded. You may not have everything you think, but you're still fully loaded. Because you don't utilize your options, that's on you. So don't be mad at me when I pull back in my arsenal and use what I, because I'm dangerous. What I learned is once you're in Christ Jesus, you become dangerous. Somebody shout danger. And then you got to realize who you are in Christ. I know who I am. So don't be mad at me when that one don't work and then I pull out something else. And then that one don't work and then pull out something else. Because I'm always got my guns up. And I'm always in my stance. And I'm always ready. Somebody shout, I'm fully loaded. God never leaves us unequipped or ill-prepared. Before he gives answers, this is the best advice I've ever heard. Before God gives answers, he first gives instruction.
Yeah, God. Amen. Yeah, he does.
Before he gives answers, he first gives instruction. Well, I can't, I don't know how to do this. Go back to the instruction. So here it is. He gives us the instructions. They're going to be found in the blueprint. And the blueprint is the Bible. It is the Word of God. Here's what the Bible acronym is. Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what your Bible is for. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is the blueprint. What do you need from God? It's in the Word. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. Whatever you need is in the Word. Somebody say it's in the Word. You want to know about the way, the truth, the life? It's in the Word.
Amen.
So here it is. The basic instructions before leaving earth. The instructions are found in the blueprint, and they are brought to life by the power of the Holy Ghost. The instructions will be brought to life through the power of the Holy Ghost. So what that means is you pray and ask God for a thing, and then you listen to the Holy Ghost, your comforter, your keeper, your guide. He is the one who will give you, tell you, go right, go left, keep or stand still. There's nothing wrong with standing still. But when you stand still, you got to stand still and know who God is. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see it all come to pass. The Holy Ghost is the one who helps us and gives us the power. Jesus is the way, and by grace through faith, if you believe, you will have new life. Old things are going to be passed away, and some things, a few things, one or two things. Oh, some of y'all know the word. Let's try it again. Old things are passed away, and some things, a few things, all things will become new. What will become new? My mind is going to be new. My eyes will be new. How I hear is going to be new. My senses will be new. My walk will be new. My talk will be new. My relationships will be new. All things are passed away. All things become new. So stop trying to resurrect your dead man. Don't leave him dead. He's dead for a reason. And we love to go and try to exhume the old man when we get offended. We try to exhume the old man when we get disappointed, when we get discouraged, when we think that God didn't answer our prayers. God always answers. He always answers. It may not be what you want, but I can guarantee you it's what you need. Give God a hand clap of praise if you believe. So verse number 5 says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? When you receive Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, you are fully equipped. Don't allow fear, doubt, anxiety, unbelief to plague your life. That is what the enemy's job is. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your faith, steal your hope, kill your dreams, kill your relationship. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that you have. Your health, your mind, your eyesight, your whatever it is. He wants to kill it, he wants to steal it, and he wants to destroy it. In Luke, he says this. This is what Jesus told them in Luke. He said, Simon, Simon, this is what he told Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan desires. Let me tell you what a desire is. A desire is a strong urge. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. To sift means to reduce down to the irreducible minimum. He wants to sift you as wheat. But let me tell you what Jesus did. He left us with a promise. He said, but, somebody say but.
But
I prayed for you. This is what Jesus did for us as believers. This is New Testament. He says, but I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. So what I'm trying to say is that life is gonna be hard. Times will get tough. It's not easy to live a life as a believer. But once you get settled in your heart and you believe it in your mind that Christ, that Jesus prayed for me, that my faith wouldn't fail. We gotta believe that he prayed that my faith wouldn't fail. He went before time in the future and prayed for us. So that means our faith is going to be tempted. That means that our faith is going to be tested. That means that we're going to throw it down sometimes. That means that we're going to kick it to the trash can sometimes. But it's going to be right there waiting for you to pick it up and put it back on and keep pressing towards the mark. He said, I pray for you that your faith fail you not. And here's the best part. He says, when thou have been converted. That means when you got saved for real. That means when you believe for real. That means when you have believed in your heart and you settled the issue. He said, reach back and strengthen your brother. So that's what we got to do as believers. We encourage each other. We cover each other. We pray for each other. That's the reaching back. That's the reaching back. So God wants to receive you. You're fully loaded. Don't allow the doubt, the fear to come. The way is simple. Just stick to the basics. Just stick to the basics. Salvation isn't hard. Life is hard. Salvation is easy. Now, walking it out is not hard, but it's doable. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't make it easy. It makes it possible. Thank you. Thank you. Faith doesn't make it easy. It makes it possible. Faith says, don't complain. Faith says, get up and keep going. Faith says, I can do this. Faith says, turn around and go back. Faith says, forgive again. Faith says, stop taking count. Faith says, keep moving and go forward. Faith says, grow up. Faith says, stretch. Faith says, keep God first. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me the strength to do so. That's what faith says. So then we get back down to verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, except by me. So what that says is salvation is simple. We've got to ask the Lord to come into our life. We believe that he died on the cross and rose again on the third day with all power in his hand. And with that, you saved. And we then, once we receive Christ, we then have access to all things that God said that we can have. We have access to all things. But let me tell you this, access is at different levels. Access, you don't just jump in and be, but access, there's different access points and different levels of growth and maturity in your faith. So How do we know the way? I got some of my young, like my son and my daughter in the back over there, and I love to talk to them, and they're real free. And so here it is, how I kept this in mind for the young people. How do we know the way? Number one, by establishing a personal relationship with Christ through salvation. That's the number one way. How do we know the way? How do we know the truth? How do we know the light? How do we get this? How do we get that? Number one, establishing a personal relationship with Christ through salvation. Now, let me ask you this. So, the personal relationship, do you neglect somebody that you're getting personal with? Do you just talk to them once a week? Do you just talk to them once a month? Do you just call them and talk 5 seconds? No, when you're getting to know someone and you're having a personal relationship with them, this is something that you do daily. It's something that you do often. You get to know them. God wants to get to know you. So, and I want to put the scripture with that is John 3:16. We all know John 3:16, many of us. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever... Whosoever. So let's not get into this. Oh, the world. Oh, y'all ain't this. God died. Jesus died for whosoever. Whosoever is anybody. Whosoever is the wino. Whosoever is the whoremonger. Whosoever the priest. Whosoever. He died for whosoever believeth. You got to believe. Somebody shout out, I believe. Who is whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Number two. I'm almost done. How do we know the way? Number two, by studying the word. How do we know the way? By studying the word. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study your word. It's no different than anything else. If you get a new car, you want to study the manual because you want to know all the little options on the car. If you want to do well on the SAT, you should be studying. If you want to do well on the driver's test, you should be studying. If you want to do well in whatever you're going to do, you got to do what? Study. How do you know if you're not going to read the word? And we need, it says study to show yourself approved. God already knows who he is. You got to study the word so you can know who you are.
That's right. That's right.
Study to show yourself approved. And number three, by standing and staying steadfast, by standing and staying steadfast in the faith and receiving a word of knowledge. Let me say that again. Number three, how do we know the way? By standing and staying steadfast in the faith and receiving a word of knowledge. 2 Timothy 3:14-17, and we're going to wrap it up. Standing and staying steadfast in the faith. 2 Timothy 3:14-17. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You got to know the word and be assured of the word and know who indeed gave you the word, all right? So you've got to believe and understand what the word says. 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Somebody might say, well, I didn't go to church as a child, so I didn't know no scriptures when I was a child. But, you know, this can also be likened to when you in the spiritual sense. I'm a babe when I first get saved. And then scriptures come. So don't always look at everything in the natural. There's always a supernatural side to everything that we do in the natural. Verse 16 says, all scripture, somebody say all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Profitable means that benefits us. It's profitable for doctrine. Here it is as well. It says profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, this is what I love, and for instruction. There it is. Scripture is good for doctrine. That's what we want to know. For reproof, that means when you get rebuked or you need to know what's right and wrong. And for correction, right and wrong. And for instruction in righteousness.
All right.
Not instruction for what you want to do, but instruction in righteousness in his word. Verse 17, here it is. You get all that, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. That means you're fully loaded. Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yeah. That means not perfect as in nothing's wrong with me, but he has perfected me. I am perfect in his sight. Yeah. But I'm going to be thoroughly furnished. I am fully loaded. I am fully equipped. And I am dangerous to do his works. So no matter, and I'm quick to do whatever I put my hands to, wherever my feet shall tread, whatever I do, it's going to be done in the name of Jesus. So as you stand to your feet, and we get ready to pray at the altar, I don't want you to miss your opportunity. If you got a little bit of soft music, I don't want you to miss your opportunity. And this is what I read. As we stand and get ready for the altar, I wanted to put this in the atmosphere for those of you who continue to waver in your mind about the way, about the truth and the life. Just a little lower. You are still unsure of some areas in your life, and you don't see how living the life of a believer is profitable or beneficial. Here's what I want to say to you. This is what I saw a video on Instagram the other day. A little bit. Okay. Here it is. Joshua 24 says, he talks about choices. For me and my house, we're going to choose. We choose to serve the Lord. This is what I got off Instagram. Being overweight is hard. Being physically fit is hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Working a 9-to-5 until you're 65 is hard. Starting a business is hard. A careless life without God is hard. A life dedicated to God is hard. Choose your heart. You will never go wrong following Jesus. You will never go wrong walking in the ways of righteousness. The enemy will dangle fruit and carrots and whatever. He'll dangle these things in front of you, making you think that his way, his life, all the rappers, or all the singers, all the people, they change the cars. That's temporal. Yeah. How many people do you know, have you seen, that they wanted all these things, or they had all these things, and they blew their head off? Yeah. Choose this day who you will serve. Life is hard. Never said it was going to be. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning all through it to your end. He tells us the beginning and he shows us the end. Our victory is in Jesus. Eternity is the end. That's what we're striving for. It's the in-between where we lose faith. It's the in-between where we get weary. It's the in-between where we want to give up. But they that wait on the Lord, I said, they that wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40 tells us, even the youth shall faint. The men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. David said, I would have fainted lest I would have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Be of good courage. Strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. If there's anybody who needs salvation, if there's anybody who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, we're going to give you a little time to make up your mind to choose this.